Hi, and welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. I'm a passionate student of life, plant medicine mama, teacher, and self-care and abundance addict. I'm here to share my story as well as what I've learned through my 40 plus years of living and many life experiences that include personal bankruptcy, overcoming bulimia and alcohol addiction, and finding true healing that allowed me to embrace later in life pregnancy and motherhood after many fertility challenges and much loss. I have taken back my mental, financial, physical, and spiritual health after retiring from my career as a successful television director at age 30 to create the life of my dreams in Costa Rica. If you're ready to step outside of your comfort zone, take your life and health into your own hands, and finally feel truly connected and in love with your body and soul, then join me every single week. The Meg Pearson Podcast will offer an intimate look into my world, my struggles and successes, as well as potent insight and tools from my guests, fabulous friends, and spiritual teachers. I have become the empowered woman and mother I always knew existed deep within me, and now I coach others to do the same. Are you ready? Let's do this. One last thing before we get into the conversation, I want to remind you that this podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, pregnancy, and childbirth related subjects. The content here should not be taken as medical advice, and the content here is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult with your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Meg Pearson Podcast. I am so happy to be back after a little bit of an unannounced and unplanned hiatus. Well, let me be clear. Actually, it was planned for me anyways. I just didn't feel the need to announce it to the world because I've been sitting a lot lately with time and really feeling into what values are holding true to me right now. What is important, what things I need to lay to rest or just be a little bit more chill about. And this podcast is something that I have poured my heart into over the last year and a half. I've had some amazing guests on it and amazing conversations, and it's just been a really, really, really fun project for me. But it is just not something that I have the capacity and the bandwidth to commit to doing episodes every single week moving forward. So I will just be sprinkling in conversations as I feel excited, as I feel ready, as I feel is necessary to share only the most important stuff that I really want to get out there with the Meg Pearson Podcast. So please stay subscribed, and obviously you will get notifications and see on your devices when new episodes are happening. I am recording this introduction on a Tuesday, the Tuesday that I'm set to go back to work at Rhythmia. So I will be going back to my quote unquote day job, and it is a bittersweet moment. I have been home with my new baby, Ozzy, for only 3 months. And honestly, it feels like it's not been enough time because having a newborn and a three-year-old, a toddler, has made it very busy, to say the least. But I also just feel like I haven't had the same amount of one-on-one with my new little man that I was able to with my daughter, Kobe. But I digress. It is what it is, and I'm just moving forward with gratitude that I have an amazing job to go back to, that my partner Levi and I have created a schedule where we are mostly able to be, one of us is mostly able to be home with our kids, so they're not having too much one-on-one care with a nanny or childcare, so that feels really, really good. Kobe is in school full-time. She hasn't been there much for the last month because the school has been closed on holiday. We've been on holidays. Gosh, since I did my last episode, we've gone to Canada and come back from Canada to visit family. And yeah, lots has been going on. So I will do a personal update episode very soon. But today I have a guest to introduce you guys to. It is someone that I've known for several years. Her name is Danica, and she's just amazing. I've been following her on Instagram for a long time, and she had announced recently that she was going to be shaving her head. Now, many of you probably know, if you've been following me on socials for any amount of time, that I had my head shaved for many years. I originally shaved it back in 2014 as part of a cleanse that I was doing, a spiritual, physical, emotional cleanse. And I talk a little bit about that in this episode. And Donica recently shaved her head as well. So I wanted to speak to her about it. When I see women out there doing amazing, brave things like that, I want to see about it. And I had also been following, I want to see about it. What does that mean? Mom brain. At any rate, I'd also been following Donica's journey online as she went from deciding that her breast implants were no longer serving her to having the actual explant surgery. And we decided we would talk on the podcast once both her boobs and her long blonde hair were gone. So I'm excited to share that conversation today, a convo where Donica goes way deep into her why. And we also talk about her previous life as both a stripper and a magician's assistant, and her challenges as a pet lover with savior complex. And we also discuss what feminine embodiment means to her. So Donica is an advanced combo practitioner and Reiki master, as well as a former licensed nurse, and she's got lots to share. So we'll get right into our episode now. Enjoy. So I'm super excited to have my dear friend Donica on the show here today. I have one other guest currently with me. I don't know if the microphone has picked up the sound of my son suckling away on my teat. But my little Aussie is making his first appearance on the Meg Pearson podcast today as well. So if you hear baby sounds, this is what you're hearing. Super excited, Donica, to have you on the show. Today we're talking about all things plant medicine, walk of life, healing, trauma release, breast explant surgery, and shaving of head. So this is going to be a very delicious conversation. Welcome to the show, sister.
Thank you for having me. And I'm in Austin, Texas right now, and it's 11:11. So how divine, as we start, we have this angel number. So it's meant to be.
Yes. 10:11 my time, 11:11 Austin time. But it's always 11:11 somewhere in the universe, right? Look at my little boy staring at the screen. He's like, Donica, we have the same haircut.
I'll touch mine if you touch yours.
So my son was born with no hair. Well, he was born with a little bit of red hair, and now he's lost a lot of it. As I am also losing my hair, I was just sharing with Donica before we hit record, I am 3 months postpartum, and this is around the time that women often start losing their hair. So I'm losing my hair and tempted to shave my head. And Donica has recently shaved hers, which is, we've been waiting to record this podcast until you had went through this beautiful initiation. Before we get into the details about that, just tell me how you're feeling right now since you shaved your head.
I just feel so aligned and happy and just my true authentic self. Like, I've just been glowing, and I couldn't imagine going back. That's how much I just like, oh, this is me.
Yes. It is so you. And I'm going to, obviously, a lot of this is going to be in audio because it's podcast, but I will be sharing images of you in when I promote this episode so people see, people can see the light that you are, this purity that you're, you're cleared off melon is just shining to the world. It's beautiful. So before we talk about the how and the why you shaved your head, can you fill in the listeners a little bit about your path? What, obviously, it was a long and winding road to getting to this point where you were ready to shave your head and shed this particular layer of you. Tell me, tell everyone listening, where did it all begin?
Oh, when did it all begin? Well, I guess like my healing journey specifically started when I was 19. Like, you know, I was taking a psychology class in college and I realized, oh my God, I'm super messed up. I am like my mother. I need to get help. And so that's kind of like where it started through therapy. But the real journey was when I, you know, sat at Rhythmia. That's where we met for the first time in 2020 before, you know, COVID hit. And that was my spiritual awakening. You know, I was doing Tony Robbins and had some coaches, but it was when I sat with Aya when like the shedding really just began, and it just kickstarted where I'm at, you know, today. And through COVID, I'm grateful, and the opportunities arose to continue to sit with the medicine during lockdown in California. And then the real game changer happened when I sat with Iboga. That was where it just amplified everything. And I guess what started with like the shaving was that I just got back from Gabon, where Iboga is from, in July, doing my initiation. And that's what kickstarted this. I got to shave my head. I got to take out my implants. You know, it was just this unraveling of who I was conditioned to be through my trauma and society, to finding who am I really at my core and what feels right to me.
Yes. And that's such a, I mean, this is what the medicine does, right? The medicine, all the medicines are working to bring us back to origin, you know, back to our connection with nature and this, and the understanding that we are not separate. Like, humans aren't any different than the rest of nature, even though we have all been led to believe that we are the dominant creatures and that we deserve to take and pillage. And the medicine on a more personal level really does want to just get us back to the deepest knowing of who we are meant to be at a soul level, unraveling all of our conditions, all of the stories that we've adopted from our, like you said, from society, from our families, from our, you know, ancestors, and start to break those patterns and those chains to create change. So, oh gosh, there's just so many directions I want to go in the conversation. I want to dive deep into the explant, because there's a lot of women that I know have been going through the explant surgery very recently, like in the last year especially. And I want to ask, obviously a big message was from the medicine was for you to do that. Can you tell me a bit more about that? What was the message? Was it, you know, about just releasing the need to appear a certain way, or what was that?
Yeah, just like with anything in life, there's not just one answer. You mm-hmm. know, there's multiple reasons. And this message was coming in before I sat with Iboga. It was coming in my field from two other women that I follow. And I truly believe that my guides and higher self are constantly talking to me through the people that I'm interacting with, what I'm seeing on social media. And they took out theirs because of breast implant illness.
Yes.
I never thought I had it, because since microdosing Iboga and working with Combo, my health has been so, so great. Before I started working with these medicines, now that I think, oh, I was really sick. I had mercury poisoning. I had high levels of lead and tin. My gut was extremely poor. I was always in and out of like the hospital and doctor's offices because I just, you know, was sick. But when I was working with these plant medicines, you know, they detox the body. And so it was masking what was really, you know, there. But as I've been healing, I was just realizing I don't feel aligned with my implants anymore, you know, especially being a healer and serving medicines. And here I am trying to, like, I'm wearing dresses and I just have like these big boobs out, and I just didn't feel right to me. You know, I guess not my authentic self. And so part of it was I wanted to take them out because my 10 years was coming up, and they say you should replace them after 10 years. And we're going to start having children. We want to plan to start having children soon. And my body worker just said, well, why don't you take them out before you get pregnant? Because when you get pregnant, they're going to just get gigantic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's a good thought. Yeah, I'll do that. And then breast implant illness just kept coming in. I did a Bufo journey. And that medicine said that one, my left one, that's the one that's wreaking havoc in my body. And then I had two of my clairvoyant workers, a new one especially, said, oh, there's a block over your heart. There's something blocking you. He didn't even know I had implants because he couldn't, you know, see me. And then of course with Iboga, it was just like, yes, you're sick. You have this breast implant illness. You need to take them out. And so I guess going back to your question, I took them out because yes, breast implant illness, it is a thing. There are a lot of doctors who will say otherwise that it's not, but of course, you know, it is a foreign object. And what's really important, at least this is what I believe, is that when you do the surgery, you got to make sure you get the capsule that's removed. And so I saw a specialist. I actually flew to Michigan to go see Dr. DeRosa. This is all she does. She no longer puts implants into the body. And so that was really important for me morally, that someone is like, she believes in this and she's no longer contributing to putting these toxic things in the body.
Amazing.
And yeah. And so it goes from that. And then on a spiritual level, I do really believe that it was blocking my heart. And I got to feel that right after surgery. When I woke up, I was pissed.
I saw them. Yeah. And I love that you documented a lot of this process on your Instagram account, which we will put links to in the show notes for this episode. But yeah, I saw that. And that was amazing. How powerful. Tell us more about that. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's all good. Interrupt away. It's because actually the nurse that was putting my IVs in, she triggered me. Which was a gift, you know, because there was emotions coming up. She blew out my IV first, like my vein through the first IV, which was like fine. And then after the surgery, she was waking me up and I wasn't ready to come back too. And so I was being rushed and she was like, open your eyes. And I was like, I literally can't. I was the third surgery of the day. They took me on and I knew they wanted to get home so I could understand. But because I was being rushed, that really triggered a lot of anger that was stored in me. So it was a gift. And so I got to just feel into it and I was mad for days. But because I was able to release that since being home now, I'm not holding on to like this anger. Like usually it would just leak out and I would project it onto my husband or I would just, you know, feel it. And so that's been a really big change, is releasing that and lots of heart pain as well. And feeling into that pain from my mother feeling into my mother pains. My mom was watching my pets, so she was triggering me as well. Like spirit was just throwing in all these things to trigger me to allow that pain, to, you know, to come up, because you know we must feel in order to heal. Yeah, even on my birthday. So I had my surgery 3 days before my 33rd birthday. So another angel number, 333. Mm. But my hamster died on my birthday, and then there was.
Death and rebirth all happening at once, right?
Yes, and I love all my animals. You know me. I've got 8 cats, 2 horses, a dog. I've got the hamster, which now I know really, yes, I love animals, but also my savior complex, you know, wanting all the animals that nobody else wants, letting them love them, the wounded healer. That's another for another probably topic, but that was coming up in the medicine too before Iboga. My initiation was like, hey, we got to look at this savior complex, this codependency. And that actually ties into the implants. They were holding in a lot of that pain, that heart pain around the codependency. And my heart definitely feels exposed and more open, which is, you know, something to integrate and to get used to that. So when you have these implants, it's like a block. And now I hug other women with implants and I'm like, oh my God, is that what I felt like? Mm. It's like, it's this hard rock. And it was literally this barrier between us connecting.
Yeah. Wow. And I thank you for going there on both the emotional implications of and ramifications of the breast implants and also the physical, because breast implant illness is something that has been coming up a lot. You know, I've been seeing it all over the place and I don't have implants, but it's clearly something that needed more light shone upon it. And I'm grateful that women like you and also a lot of the women that I follow on different platforms have also been shining light and attention on it, because it is something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, you know, they're not really aware.
Yeah.
And some of my symptoms that I had that I could just say was chronic fatigue, brain fog, still the gut issues, constant inflammation. The only time I ever felt good was when I was doing water fasting, and I eat a very clean diet as well, but it was just constant, or even if I did combo, right? Cause that helps with inflammation as well. And since my surgery, the inflammation's going down, I'm no longer fatigued, the brain fog's gone, my gut has changed dramatically, and I haven't even started to detox because it really does mess up your gut. So you're more likely to get Sibibo, Candida, leaky gut. And I was going to go do a round of that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm having normal bowel movements right in the morning. And that's a good indication of your health. How frequently are you going to the bathroom? And really it should be right in the morning, or even feeling like hungry in the morning, because that's the indication. Are you stressed? Are you in this, I guess, this state of stress? And I'm not anymore. So it's like, oh, this is
amazing.
Cool.
And so we're recording this on October 13th. What was the date of your surgery again? Repeat that.
September 23rd.
September 23rd. So it's, yeah. And let's talk a little bit for anyone out there that's listening that wants to know a bit more about the process. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the recovery process was like for you?
Yeah, I think it just depends, you know, on the person and, you know, where you're at, because I do follow women on the Breast Implant Illness Facebook group, and a lot of them are sick for months to years afterwards, but I have to give it to the work that I've been doing with Iboga and Cambo, detoxing my body so much that I feel like I've been recovering much quicker because I was already in the process of, you know, pulling out these toxins that are leaking into the body. But definitely about 9 days until I was really starting to be able to use my arm. So because I stayed in Michigan for 8 days and it was just kind of being posted up because you have drains. Not everyone gets drains, depends on the doctor. And so you have these drains, you're itchy.
So, and can I ask about that? I did see that you, woo, Ozman, little boy's got a burp that won't come out. I saw that you had shared on social media that not all doctors give drains. Why yes drain, why no drain? Do you know the reason why some doctors do and when some doctors don't?
From my understanding, it can help with the process because when you're taking out like that capsule on the implant, there's this open space and the body is naturally producing this liquid or you have blood. And so the drains are assisting at pulling out that liquid. And because if not, it can get, I think they call it a sonoma. It's like a buildup and they'd have to go in with like a needle and inject it out. So it's just to help with like the healing process. But like I said, not everyone does it. But like I said, she's a specialist in this. And so that's what she has found, that the drains help with the healing much quicker.
Amazing. Okay. So let's talk about your head shave. So you knew pre-explant that you were going to do this. This mm-hmm. was something that came to you in the medicine as well. I shaved my head and I don't know if my listeners know that I'm this part of my story. So I'm going to fill in real quickly, but when I first moved down to Costa Rica, it was 9 years ago this month. And this is October. Yes. I just had to double check. Everything is a blur in the postpartum phase. And I shaved my brain. What? Interesting.
You shaved my brain.
I shaved my brain. Well, I was clearing out my brain, but I moved down here and I did a super deep meditation juice cleanse and fast where I was doing twice daily colonics and juicing and doing heavy meditation and tons of yoga every day and very much living outside of this realm in a lot of ways. And I received the download during that week that I needed to shed some of my physical attachment to my physical appearance, right? I needed to release some of that. And so that's why I shaved my head. And it was also, I felt, and I didn't know the words for it at the time, but it was kind of a bit of a spiritual payment as well. I had just gone through, you know, a year and a half period of massive transformation. I had left my career in television, was diving deep into the wellness world. And so looking back, I can see that it was a big part of me, you know, giving back and saying thank you to spirit for everything that it had given me up until that point. And I did shave my head at the top of a mountain, ocean view, looking out at beautiful Mother Nature with the help of my friend and boss at the time. And we gave all my hair back to the earth. It was all given back to nature. And then it was a practice. Shaving my head was something that I kept doing off and on from end of 2013 until 2020, the beginning of the pandemic, when I was staying at home with my daughter, I decided to start to grow my hair out. And the reason I started to grow it out again is because at that point I realized that another reason I shaved my head is because I just wasn't feeling very connected to my feminine at the time, because I did have a lot of blocks and a lot of walls up around unhealed sexual trauma. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I shaved my head on a human level, looking back, was because I just wanted to not be attractive. Mm-hmm. I thought that if I shaved my head, I would be attractive because I just moved to Latin America and I did not want to get any attention from any men. It was, I wanted to be, abstinent, you know, and finally, almost a year after the birth of my daughter, I was finally ready to step back into my feminine after, you know, periods of extreme unraveling. I went from abstinence to getting married to my first husband, to divorcing him, to being in a polyamorous relationship, to getting pregnant and having my first daughter and shutting down again. And then finally in 2020, feeling the need to reconnect to my feminine. So growing 75% of my hair back, continuing to shave a quarter of it, has been my entrance back into more of a whole version of myself. And I continue to embrace both sides. As I have realized after all of my years of working with medicine, the importance of the humaneness of all of this spiritual work. And I think that myself, and I think the spiritual world at large, has gone through a whole period of, you know, the psychedelic renaissance, us all living in a spiritual realm where we're spiritual bypassing and, you know, trying to live outside of ourselves, and then coming back to the realization that, no, the reason for all of this work that we're doing is so that we can be human, be better humans. It's about embodying all of this and not trying to be outside of ourselves to be conscious, which is what a lot of people have taught for a long time. We want to, what's the word? I'm so postpartum right now. Ascend beyond our humanness. But it's not that. It's about being human. All of this work that we're doing is to be human. Very small percentage of the people of the world are going to ascend to the point where they're going to sit on a mountaintop and meditate for the rest of their lives, right? And if you ask me, that's not what I want to fucking do. I want to live and procreate and enjoy chocolate and dancing and sex and all of that amazing stuff, right?
I always tell people, I'm like, I don't know this. I can't remember. That's something I was getting, like, why can't I remember up there? But we're meant to come down here to forget. But there's no pizza or cookies up there.
Exactly.
Like, we get to be here. And like, I'm like, look at these beautiful sunrises and sunsets and just all the beauty around us.
Yeah. And I admit that I forget all the time, even though this is what I do for a living, is I'm either coaching one-on-one with people to remember, or I'm working in plant medicine where the goal is nothing but to remember. And I'm the first one to forget when life gets busy and I've got two screaming babies and, you know, the housekeeper, you know, listen to me, oh, and the housekeeper showed up late. How privileged am I? How privileged am I? Right.
Yeah.
And then I give my head a shake and I say, how lucky am I that I have a housekeeper who's late and I have two babies and that I get to enjoy this beautiful life and that nothing is wrong. Nothing is ever wrong. Everything is perfect. I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but I just was out for a walk this morning with my son and I ran into someone that I know from the medicine world. He is rather new. He drank medicine with me for the first time a couple of years ago. And I ran into him on the street and he said, you know, there's one thing that will always stay with me from that journey of the medicine is when one of the medicine providers said to me, everything is as it is and it's perfect.
Yes.
And it's just like the most simple idea, but one that none of us grasp, right? Because everything just is. It doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be anything. It just is. And it's all in divine order.
It's God. At least I believe this. It's all of God experience and experiencing itself.
Yeah.
And all that it is.
Yeah. And coming back to that remembrance, coming back to the truth of who we are, sometimes we need to go through big initiations, whether it's big life events that have to rock us and knock us down so we can rebuild, whether it's a big plant medicine journey that we need to wake us up, whether we need to go deeper into that truth through physical adaptations like you have made, right? So let's talk a bit more now about your head shave. I know I started talking about mine and we went around a big loop there. Let's come back to you and you getting your bald on. Tell me more about that whole process.
Well, thank you for sharing. For one, I think it all ties in together, and it was so beautiful for you to share that. And it, what I found was interesting, one key thing was that you took off your hair was kind of like to hide from your femininity, you know, to not have people look at you, which almost find you have a bald head, more people do look at you like as a woman, but maybe it's not from like that sexual desire. I don't know. My husband is so attracted to me now more. He's like, this just suits you. And it's beautiful.
It's the same with my fiance. He's always like, are you going to shave your head again? When are you going to shave your head again? Like, he wants me to.
No, I think it says a lot about our feminine and our power, and to really stand and to hold this. And I actually feel more in my feminine now than I did with my hair, because it takes a level, I guess, of confidence and power. And so for me, I made sure, that's why I waited so long. So when I got back from Gabon, I just woke up one morning. I was like, I need to shave my head. Like, that was my higher self. You need to do it, but you have to wait. You have to wait till after your surgery. And I just for so long wanted to take it off. I just want it now, because I knew that it was like a big release. Because usually if you just shave your head, typically there's a release that needs to happen. And after my surgery, I no longer had the desire to shave my head, but I had talked about it. And I was like, I purposely put it on social media that I was going to do it. That way I couldn't back out of it, but also holding myself accountable. And I was like, well, you know what? I don't feel the need to do it. I feel like I got the release that I needed through my surgery. Cause when you have surgery, you know, the anesthesia relaxes the muscles and everything lives in the body, right? The body keeps score. And so that was a big thing after surgery, was releasing so much stored trauma, especially when you're not on the pain pills, then you're really able to feel it. And so now I got to make the free choice that this is something I want to do. There's no longer this need, like I got to get it off, but it's something I truly want. Cause it is, like you're saying, it's initiation to something greater than I can even possibly fathom. And now I think I have postpartum brain hits kind of feeling in, cause I'm like, where was I going with this of the mind? But yeah, so that's the biggest thing, is letting go of this attachment to the physical. I'm not alone in this. I know I used to be a stripper. And so when you're in that field, there's a lot of like the fakeness, all right, the implants, the extensions, the hair, the tan. And so slowly over the years, I've been peeling that back. I'm no longer tanning. I stopped wearing makeup. I took out my hair extensions, my eyelash extensions, the nails. And I used to hate my hair. I used to think I needed the extensions to be beautiful. And whenever I had just my normal hair, I thought it was ugly. And so going into the shaving it, I was working on my relationship with my hair. Like, no, it's beautiful. It's perfect just as it is. And so there wasn't this energy of like disgust, getting rid of, you know, that it is love. And just like you, I'm giving my hair back to the land as well. I've been letting it sit under the moon for a few days before I'm like, okay, let's have this ceremony of giving back and gratitude. But I think the hair, the baldness and the implants tie into letting go of this physical, that I am not, yes, I am in this body. This is my spaceship or my meat suit to be down in this incarnation. But a lot of the times, like you said, I think we forget that we're spirit, that we're more, that we are internal beings and souls, and that I've had many of these physical bodies. And to letting go of the, you know, like the attachment and the desire. And what better way than to just shave off your head, take out your implants and look in the mirror naked and say, I love myself, you know, because for so long I didn't love myself. And truly, if we go down into the core of why I got my implants, it's because I didn't love myself. You know, I wasn't told that my body is perfect just as it is. And I was in the fitness realm of bodybuilding and then the strip club, where both are, at the time where I was at, was women putting in the implants and extreme body dysmorphia. And, you know, just, I didn't have any role models saying that, you know, you can love yourself just as you are. And so that's actually what I've been doing is now, because it takes months for your breast to fill out. They call it fluffing, and it'll take about 6 months, I hear. But yeah, I've just looked in the mirror, butt naked, scars, no hair. And I just look at my eyes and I'm like, I'm so beautiful and I love myself. And like, I think if you can truly do that, you know, for me, I thought I would break it down in tears, but it's been opposite. So it's great to see the growth that I've gone through to come here and now to help maybe inspire other women that you're more than just the physical body.
Yeah. Well, and I think that speaks volumes to the amount of work that you've done to get to this point, right? Because I think some women think about doing it, don't do the the work beforehand, and then it can go into a negative space, mm-hmm. making these huge physical adaptations when we've gotten so used to having them, if we're not in a space of at least self-acceptance. You know, it's sometimes we can't get straight into that place of self-love very easily, but self-acceptance for sure. So it speaks volumes. You know, I think we could do a whole other episode on the road from life and bodybuilding and stripping into where we are today, right? I think that's a whole other podcast episode of content and conversations. And I just want to say, wow, you're just an incredible human being and just so much light emanating from you and the path that you've walked, and the fact that you can openly share so much of your story is going to be so helpful to so many people. So I just want to say thank you for being you and doing everything that you do, sister.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. And it's always something I've just been able to just share and just talk. And maybe that's one of my medicines or gifts so I can do it so others can know that it's okay and that it's freeing, and that even if people are judging you, like that's just, it's nothing to even worry about, because that's just their own internal state that they're dealing with. And, you know, whenever we share our story, we don't realize how many people we're actually helping.
Exactly. Yeah. So keep telling your story, keep shining your light, my sister. I love this conversation. I love seeing you. I love your love with Brian, and I'm going to put links to both of you guys on Instagram and all of your channels, all the work that you're doing. I know you mentioned things like Bufo and Combo, which is again another whole conversation that we won't get into here today. I have spoken about Combo on the show in a previous episode with another guest, but maybe we can have you back on and we can talk more just about the specifics of those beautiful medicine practices as well.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Another secret life of mine used to be a magician's assistant as well.
Oh, come on. Oh gosh. Well, I'm gonna have to put that into the notes because that's a hook for sure.
And even working as a nurse, I used to be a wound care specialist in psych. So I worked in psych wards and did wound care. And so it's interesting now being in this healing field, I'm actually helping people with their emotional wounds and then dealing with mental illness. So it's like same path, but just different.
So you must be like 50 years old, right? You've done a lot.
I guess so. Now I'm just trying to just be.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful. I'm so grateful for having you on the show. If anyone wants to connect with you, where can they find you? You've got your social media handles. What are they?
Yeah. So I have two accounts. My personal one is Danica Gisbold. That's probably a hard one to spell out, but you know,
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Or my business page, which is Love Combo Healing. And then my website alone is just Love Combo.
Beautiful. And I'll put links to all of that so people can connect, reach out and just see what you've got going on, and also follow along with your journey, because you are very active in your stories and always giving updates on everything that's going on for you.
Yeah. And come for good laughs, because that's part of my medicine too, is just humor. You know,
God.
Like I said, we can forget and we can take this life so seriously, and we just need more play and letting the inner child out. And so, yeah, I love to do TikToks and reels and just being silly.
I should have mentioned that your reels that you guys do are hilarious. I laugh out loud often at your reels. So thank you for that. Thank you for that medicine.
Thank you. And I hope to make it to Costa Rica so I can give you a beautiful hug, heart to heart, and your beautiful children.
Oh, I would love that. And Ozzy has been loving this. He's been listening attentively to this whole conversation and hasn't made a peep. So
yeah, great.
Grabbing the microphone though. So now it's time. I think it's time we end this. Donica, thank you so much, my dear. And we will talk again soon.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, my friend. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Also, please follow the show over on Instagram at the Meg Pearson Podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more information on today's episode, please head over to the podcast webpage at meganpearson.ca/The Meg Pearson Podcast. Until next time, lovers.